Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. The majority of Pennsylvanians in the Franklin & Marshall College State Impact Pennsylvania poll say that the effects of climate change are happening right now. Two-thirds of those polled say they want state government to do more to battle climate change. Those are just two of the findings of the poll, which also asked Pennsylvanians about fracking, politics, redistricting, and gun control. Joining us today is Burwood Yost, director of the Floyd Institute's Center for Opinion Research and director of Floyd Institute for Public Policy or Public Policy Analysis, and an adjunct instructor of government at Franklin and Marshall College. Burwood Yost, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Scott.
If you'd like to weigh in when you hear some of the results, there are a lot of questions here, a lot to think about. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532, or send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. Berwin, I want to start with the energy questions that State Impact Pennsylvania, WITF State Impact Pennsylvania, that reports on Pennsylvania's energy economy was part of it. There were several questions asked about energy, about climate change. Wanted to start with one that I just mentioned there in the introduction. And that question was, do you think climate change is causing problems now? Do you think the problems created by climate change will not happen until sometime in the future? Or do you think climate change will never create any serious problems? 62% said causing problems right now. I have to admit that that was a bit of a surprise that there were that percentage of people, almost two-thirds, that said that.
Well, I'm curious about the source of your surprise.
I guess because you hear so many people who doubt. And when they say causing problems right now, which is right, the question, not asking, do you think the climate change is happening?
Sure. So if we look at other polls that have been done nationally and in Pennsylvania, for instance, the Yale Center on Climate Change did some work in Pennsylvania in 2016. They found almost 70% of Pennsylvania adults believe that climate change is real. So I think you're right that we hear that there is a lot of opposition to the notion that climate change is happening. I would say the coverage of that is much larger than the number of people who really feel that way. So this particular number didn't really surprise me. I mean, a lot of people recognize things that are happening in the in our environment and with our weather, for instance, and they see that as being caused by this global climate change. And so I wasn't really terribly surprised by that.
Maybe surprised is not the right word. I guess the way the question was asked is, and the way it came back when people said that they were actually seeing it now. And one thing to point out, because I'm sure someone will, is there's a big difference between climate and weather.
Yes,
but
right,
people may look at weather and say, oh, I am seeing a climate change. And you know, I know that, for example, Marie Cusick, our State Impact Pennsylvania reporter, when she reported this story this morning, said that, 62%, almost two-thirds of the people agree with the scientific consensus. And that consensus has always been around 97% mm-hmm. of scientists who do believe it is happening. Another question that you had was whether the state should be doing more, whether Pennsylvania should be doing more to battle climate change. Now, you have to think about this because in the last year, the year of the Trump administration, there has been talk, it hasn't actually happened yet officially, but of taking the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Correct.
And individual states are doing more to agree with the accords or to actually fight what's going on with climate change, to restrict, to limit carbon dioxide and whatever. Mm-hmm. But this poll shows a majority, in fact, a good majority, shows that they want the state to do more.
Absolutely. We saw about 50% who said, yes, definitely the state needs to do more, and another 20% that said, yes, probably. Now, when we look at those numbers, there are some partisan divides there. As you'd imagine, Democrats, almost 90% of them say, yeah, we got to do something, versus about 40% of Republicans and three-quarters of independent voters. So there are strong differences by party on this and many of these other questions. But I also want to extend what you said earlier about the Paris Climate Accords and link that to what's in this survey. We always have to remember that survey results are the result of what's happening, sort of the context of issues and conversations.
Right.
It's a snapshot, but it's also influenced by what's happening right now. And, you know, if you had asked this question prior to, say, the climate accord and all the conversations about whether we should be in the Paris Accords or not, maybe you would get a different response. And so I think we always have to keep that in mind, that when we're talking about survey responses, people are reacting to what's commonly known and experienced at the current time. We're going to talk later about changes in attitudes towards Marcellus Shale, you mentioned at the top of the show, right? Questions that we were asking in 2011 about the economic benefits, that was certainly influenced by all the economic concerns and problems that were going on at that time. So I think we always have to keep that in mind as we do this sort of analysis.
And just along those lines, and I'm kind of previewing a couple other topics we'll discuss, but guns and redistricting, congressional redistricting, context is everything.
Absolutely.
And maybe this is a good time to ask this question. When were these people surveyed? How many people around the state,
sure,
Democrat,
sure,
Republican, Independent?
Sure. So the survey was conducted basically last week. We interviewed something like 425 people, all registered voters. We were drawing from a list of registered voters across the state. And so that's the timing of the survey.
Mm-hmm. Registered voters, just registered voters.
Correct.
Is that different than what you've done in
the past? No, typically for the past 7 or 8 years, I think, we focused primarily on registered voters when we're doing these kinds of polls that involve public policy issues and involve political issues.
425, what does that translate to as far as plus minus margin there?
Typically, a survey of that size is around 5%. When you adjust for the effects of the statistical weighting that's used, it's a little higher than that, but that's normally what we're looking at.
Let's continue with the questions about energy. One of the questions you asked was whether you felt that it was more important for Pennsylvania to pursue energy policies that prioritize the availability of renewable energy. More than two-thirds said yes.
Well, absolutely. And again, this is probably part of the context of of the time that we're in, but certainly people do see that needs to be made a priority. It shouldn't be a surprise to us, given how many people tell us that climate change is a real thing and that they are being affected by it right now. I think that calls, you know, attention to the fact that something needs to happen. And prioritizing doesn't mean not doing other things. It means, what do you worry about first? And so I think it's consistent with the experiences that people are having right now.
The other choices, 18% said prioritize fossil fuel extraction from coal and natural gas, and 7% said the best value, the cheapest for consumers, except if volunteered. So not a lot there. That is a minority, a small minority of people who said continue to prioritize fossil fuel extraction. Another question. In general, do you approve or disapprove of the way the state legislatures handle the issue of natural gas development in the state? 26% somewhat disapprove, 25% strongly disapprove. That is a big majority, although 30% don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the key. We asked both about the state legislature and about the Wolf administration and how they're handling this. And basically, a third of voters say, I don't know. I can't answer that question. And I think my guess is, if we would talk to these voters in depth, they would probably most know about things like pipeline development being associated with natural gas, so how they feel about that. Probably also about the severance tax. We know most Pennsylvanians are in favor of a severance tax, and that hasn't happened. So, I think we have to remember that they're not experts in what the legislatures or the administration is doing. Many people aren't sure of that. So I think I'd be careful about, exactly what it is they might be responding to there. But there's certainly some dissatisfaction among people, both the legislature and the governor, how they're handling fracking.
As a pollster and someone who has done this for a long time, when you see 34% of the respondents say, I don't know, what does that say to you?
Well, I mean, it's obvious that this is that kind of issue where they just don't, many people don't feel like they're qualified to answer or they're either unwilling or unable to answer. In this circumstance, I would guess that they're unable to answer because they really don't know what the state legislature is doing or what the governor is doing to deal with all of these different natural gas development issues. I mean, think about all of the policies that can be involved from land use.
Oh, it's complicated.
I mean, it's incredibly complicated. So I don't think it surprises me. Most people aren't, unlike you, Scott, they're not spending every day looking at what the legislature does. And I think that's probably healthy.
Yeah. I'd have better health if I didn't do that, is what you're saying?
You might. I am not a doctor of that type, but yes.
Boy, there's a new diagnosis. But when you talk about context, pipelines and severance tax, do you think those are two of the big issues
right
now?
They're most publicly visible. Mm-hmm. You know, right? I mean, you can't drive around parts of the state, the southeastern and the south central part of the state, without running across pipeline development, right? It's everywhere.
Lebanon and Lancaster County, almost the major highways, it's not even major highways, back roads too, but everywhere you go, you can't go more than a few miles without seeing pipelines.
That's correct. So,
another question. Do you believe the potential economic benefits of natural gas drilling outweigh the possible environmental damage that drilling might cause? Or do you think the potential environmental risk of drilling outweigh the potential economic benefits? 55% said potential environmental risk outweigh the potential economic benefits. That's compared to 30% that say the economic benefits outweigh the possible environmental damage. This was a big change from 2014, the last time you asked this question.
It was, and from 2011 when we first asked the question. And this is one of those questions, again, where I would encourage us to think about the context. In 2011 and in 2014, when more people said the economic benefits outweigh the environmental damage, a small difference, but it was more people thought economic benefits were important. The biggest issue that people thought was facing the state was our economy and jobs, right? In 2011 and 2014, that was true. So I think a lot of people at that time thought we need stimulus, we need jobs, we need to improve our economy. That's our big concern. And so at this point in time, the economic benefits are worth pursuing. And so I think we have to remember that context, but there's no doubt that the support for that position has declined a few percentage points, and the worry about environmental risks have gone up almost 20 points since 2014. And one of the other big differences, we were just talking about how many people said they don't know. The proportion of people who said they don't know how to answer that question has narrowed. I mean, it's gotten much smaller than it was in 2011. It's basically cut in half. And it looks to me like a lot of people who were on the fence and said they didn't know probably are now coming down on the other side thinking, hey, there are some severe environmental issues that make it not worth it. So you've got an improving economy. You've got people becoming more exposed and familiar with natural gas and natural gas development. So the pipelines, right? People are seeing that. And does that concern them? There's been a lot of discussion, a lot of people concerned about that kind of development. So I think that this is one of those questions where people have become, the environment has changed, the context has changed, and that is driving attitude change. And it isn't just this question. I mean, it's also other questions related to Marcellus Shale. As people become more familiar with the benefits and the costs, there more people are forming an opinion, and it looks like those opinions are becoming slightly more negative or less supportive. I would say, on the other hand, if you look, though, at another question, there are 50% of registered voters do support the extraction of natural gas. So they're not saying they want it to go away. That's very important. But they are saying there are some concerns.
So overall, with the energy and climate questions, Burwood, what's your takeaway from the response that you got in the poll?
Okay. I think the big takeaway for me is that people are concerned that there are environmental consequences that result from natural gas extraction, and they want to see the state doing things to manage that. But they don't think at this point that it should go away. Many people think that natural gas extraction benefits local communities. They are concerned about perhaps environmental harm. The image of the natural gas industry itself has declined a bit, perhaps as a result of some of this negative publicity. So I think people are supportive of this. They see it as a resource, but I think they also want to be very careful about how we do it because there are environmental consequences to this development. And we've seen this before, right? You can look at coal extraction, you can look at timber extraction. Pennsylvania has a long history of natural resource extraction that provided a lot of environmental harm, and I think people are aware of that as well.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Our guest today is Burwood Yost, Franklin and Marshall College, the Franklin Marshall College State Impact Pennsylvania poll is out today. A lot of information, a lot of results, and we just finished talking about energy. We're going to be talking about redistricting, congressional redistricting, guns, and there's a lot of political information. Remember, this is an election year. A lot of information about the race for governor, U.S. Senate, and what Pennsylvanians think about President Trump. That's coming up a little bit later in the program. If you'd like to weigh in with some of the things that you hear, or if you'd just like to sit back and listen, that's okay too. But if you'd like to weigh in, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Burwood, I want to switch gears now to congressional redistricting. This has been just a huge issue in the news in the last few weeks, considering the rulings made by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, Republicans in the state legislature trying to submit a map, the governor submitting a map, state Supreme Court said, here's the map it's going to be. All this happens within like a three-week period. U.S. Supreme Court finally has made the decision. It looks like we have the map that will be drawn up by, or that was drawn up by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. A couple questions here about redistricting. Do you think the state's congressional districts, as drawn after the 2010 census, were fairly created, or do you think the districts were created to give one party an advantage over another? 60% said they were created to give one party an advantage over another. Only 16% said they were fairly created. Now, if you're going to look at a surprise there, there's some numbers, some sub-numbers to that as well. But those numbers, right off the bat, 60%, almost two-thirds, say that they think that there was some gerrymandering going on.
Well, I don't think that should surprise us. If anyone has looked at the former map, there are some districts that are drawn in a way that are just, they're not compact and they're not contiguous, that's for sure. They roam all over the place. And so there clearly appears to be some intent. You don't have to be a statistician, a mathematician to say, there's probably some issues there. So, I think it's clear people believe that these the district maps were drawn to advantage one party over another. I mean, every partisan group believes that. 52% of Republicans, 60-some percent of Democrats, more than half of independents, they believe that these maps were drawn to benefit a party. We didn't ask them if that was right or wrong. We just asked, is that the case? And clearly, Pennsylvanians believe that is the case.
Now, when I say a bit of a surprise, that, I don't know, maybe I should keep surprise out of our conversation.
You're constantly
today.
Surprised.
I guess I am. I look at your poll and say, a surprise. I shouldn't do that because I'm looking at it from my point of view and not other Pennsylvanians. But that Republicans, a majority of Republicans, said that this was a gerrymandered map.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I think you're right. If you're buying into, whether it's climate change, whatever you're buying into, whatever issue you're talking about, we do tend to believe that there's a kernel of, there are big differences between the parties, and that may be true, but in many times you still have a majority of one party versus another. I mean, we're going to see the same issue with gun control. Right? I mean, so we see these patterns. I think in our current media culture, the extremes are what is emphasized, and we never really, it's not good, it's not really newsworthy to report on sort of the more moderate or where you have, you know, consensus.
I think someone, though, who would like to see consensus, that is good news.
It is.
That there are more moderate views and not a lot of extreme views.
Correct. I think that's healthy, but that's not what is typically reported.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
and so
right.
I think right. It's important for polls like this to remind us that there is a lot of commonality. The discourse in politics is to emphasize the differences so that you can mobilize your group and generate support. That's what polarization is all about.
Not to say that in this poll, and we will be talking about some other issues, that there is not division.
Sure, there
because
is. Absolutely.
There are some questions here where members of the two parties and independents see things totally different.
Absolutely,
and we will touch on those a little bit down the line. Let's move on to guns now. Page 31. By the way, if you hear our papers rustling, this is how many pages do you have here? 33 pages. Okay, so. You know, we'll try to keep our paper rustling to a minimum, but we have to look at these numbers, so bear with us today. I try to stay away from that. See, Burwood, you were real good about that. You hit the cough button that mutes the sound as you were turning pages.
No, I have it all memorized. I don't need the pages.
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. If you do, you said you're not a statistician. Yeah. I don't know about that. Let's talk about guns. Would you favor or oppose enhancements to the background check system required to purchase a firearm? 86% said they strongly support. That is by a wide margin, and that really hasn't changed a whole lot, has it?
Well, we don't have any, for that particular question, we don't have historical data that we can refer to, but I suspect you're right. And I think when we look at that particular issue, there's an issue where we have consensus across parties. 73%, nearly three quarters of Republicans support an enhanced background check system. You know, 95% of Democrats do, and 85% of independents. So that's one of those issues that's really not that divisive. Now, if you talk about the elements of that system, maybe there'll be some argument there that differ by party. But you do see large majority of people, regardless of party, supporting enhancements to this background check system.
One of the key words there is enhancements. You're right that it doesn't get into the specifics of whether you're looking for universal background checks.
Correct.
It's asking the question whether you would like to see background checks expanded right now.
That's correct. So, you know, you may see big differences in what those enhancements, you know, support for different types of enhancements. But generally speaking, people seem to be in favor of moving in this direction. And I think one of the things that's interesting about this poll, Scott, is we do see a big uptick in people willing to talk about gun control and start, you know, creating more regulations around gun control. We've been asking a general question about gun control for years and years and years, and it's people who are favoring some kind of laws to regulate gun ownership. That has increased. And again, this is one of those contextual issues. People are talking about it. I think there's a great deal of sympathy, a new way of thinking about the issue as a result of the Parkland students' involvement. It makes it seem less political. So that support has increased. Now, will it stay that high? Is this an issue like gay marriage where we saw tremendous movement and public attitudes that have stuck? Or will this, once the coverage declines, if it declines, will this move backwards in the public consciousness? We don't know that answer yet.
I asked you earlier about tapping your experience, what a percentage says to you. 86%. What does that say to you as a pollster?
We don't have many issues that get that kind of support. I mean, if you look at strongly and somewhat support, you're talking about almost everybody.
I said 86% that strongly support.
Right.
Another 8% somewhat support. So that's up to 94%.
Right. And I think what's important to understand, too, is what are the people at the extremes? How many people are in those strongly favor or strongly oppose groups? And, you know, this is one of those issues where 86% really do strongly support these enhancements. Only about 4% strongly oppose it. And, you know, that's really where the conflict lies in people who have strong opposing opinions. And on this one, we don't see that.
And again, I'm going to ask a question about, going back and using your experience on this. You mentioned same-sex marriage. What are the issues over the years that you have seen a real change? Same-sex marriage is one. Are there others? Marijuana, what?
You've hit them, yeah. Marijuana, attitudes towards marijuana have changed markedly over time. Attitudes and support for gay marriage have changed markedly over time. I think expressions related to racial differences have changed. Attitudes towards diversity of women in the workplace, that has changed over time and continues to change. So we do see issues and attitudes change. I mean, even if we're talking long term, right, something like attitudes even towards birth control, right? I mean, that all of that stuff has changed in the public eye over time.
Even since, because birth control pills were introduced in the early 60s, and you were not at F&M in the early 60s.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But I'm thinking historically, right? If you look at the timelines and you look backwards over time, into the birth of modern polling, which is the late 20s, early 30s, you know, there are issues that have changed markedly over that time period. So I'm not just thinking about the last 30 years that I've been doing this, I'm thinking about the many years of modern polling where we've been tracking these kinds of issues.
Another gun question. Do you favor or oppose new laws that ban the sale of assault-style weapons in the state? 61% strongly support, 7% somewhat support. If I can add the somewhat oppose and strongly oppose, it's about 27%. So we're looking at more than two-thirds who strongly support. Of course, there are people who question, do people actually know what an assault-style weapon is? What this poll shows is that people would like to see guns like AR-15s, assault-style weapons that look like military weapons. Now, they are semi-automatic for the most part, but they support, more than two-thirds support banning them.
So it depends which people we're talking about, Scott. So this is one of those issues you alluded to earlier. If you're talking about overall public support, looks strong. If you start to dive into partisan support, though, you see some differences. So, for instance, only about a third of Republicans strongly support an assault weapon ban, and slightly more of them strongly oppose it. So this is where we're getting at one of those issues where even among Republicans, there's a pretty strong division and a hard, hard kernel of support to not do these things. And so this is one of those issues that would be really pretty contentious even among Republicans.
What was the breakdown of Republicans versus Democrats and independents of the 400 plus?
Depends how you measure it. We measure partisanship two ways. We measure partisanship by how people say they're registered, and our numbers break down pretty much exactly like the state's registration figures, about 47-48% Democrats, about 40% Republicans, about 13% independents. That's registration. We also ask about how they identify. So I could be a registered Republican and identify with a Democrat, or I could be a registered independent but feel more closely aligned to one party than the other. So, but in terms of registration, our numbers match pretty much exactly the state's registration numbers. And in terms of ideology, when you do it by how people identify in terms of partisanship, there's a smaller gap between Republicans and Democrats. And really, you only have about 5% of the population who are true independents, don't have some leaning towards one party or another.
Let's move on to a third gun question. Do you favor or oppose raising the minimum wage to purchase a firearm to 21? 59% strongly support, 13% somewhat support, about 25% oppose.
Minimum age, not the minimum wage.
Did I say minimum wage?
You did. That's easy to do. That's okay.
To 21.
But raising the minimum age to 21. So, again, this is an issue, not nearly the sort of overwhelming support as you see for enhancement to the background checks system. And again, you see a divided Republican Party with about a third strongly supportive of this and just under that, strongly opposed to it. So, you know, you do have some partisan differences. I should also add, though, that some of these differences are related to the differences in gun ownership by party, right? So half of Republicans tell us they're gun owners. Only about a quarter of Democrats say they are. So those attitudes that we attribute to partisanship, you can also attribute in some ways to the differences in the number of Republicans and Democrats who own guns.
You didn't ask any minimum wage questions this time.
Not this time. We have in the past.
I know.
Most people favor an increase of the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
By the way, you have a couple of listeners who have weighed in. Linda reminds us, and I'm glad she did this, the Supreme Court, and she's talking about the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, did not draw the map. They adopted a map. It was a group of people, including an expert from Stanford University, who drew it. We are always striving for accuracy, and that is completely accurate. Tom in Carlisle gives us a little historic perspective. He says, just a reminder that oil and natural gas have been produced in Pennsylvania for 159 years. Colonel Drake in 1859 started it all.
That's right.
So natural gas and the Marcellus Shale is relatively new, 10 or 12 years, but Pennsylvania, oil was discovered in Pennsylvania,
right,
in Titusville, Pennsylvania.
Right.
So thank you for those reminders and adding some context as well. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Our guest today is Burwood Yost, director of the Floyd Institute Center for Opinion Research and director of the Floyd Institute for Public Policy Analysis, and he's an adjunct instructor of government at Franklin and Marshall College. We're talking about the latest F&M and State Impact Pennsylvania poll, which is out today. A lot of information here. If you'd like to weigh in, 1-800-729-7532 or send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. Burwood, as always, a lot of questions about politics. We are in an election year where Governor Wolf is running for re-election. Republicans will be nominating in May a candidate for governor. Other parties, I just saw yesterday, the Green Party has a candidate as well that is up for governor. U.S. Senate, Bob Casey running for re-election, and all our congressional offices in new districts. The state representatives, half the state Senate. So it is a big election year. Big question that you ask almost every F&M poll that you have, and that has to do with whether the state is going in the right direction, or I think the words that you use are whether the state is on the right track. There was some movement in this one from your last poll in September, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was, Scott. And actually, for the first time since 2009, our polling shows that more people believe the state's heading in the right direction than believe it's off on the wrong track. And that's a big change. And that's important. We're going to talk about elections, right? That's important in regard to elections, because if you track something like the governor's job approval rating, it often tracks very nicely with the proportion of people who say the state's heading in the right direction. So it's an important political indicator of the direction of the state and what might happen to partisans of the party people in power versus those not in power. So it's sort of a leading indicator of the prospects of the incumbent party for the coming year.
How much information do you get from those who have been polled besides numbers? I guess the reason I'm asking that question is, did you hear from any of those polled as to why they think the state isn't going in the right direction? Or is this something that, you know, just the two of us and everyone gets their heads together and say, okay, what do we think they're thinking about?
Right. Well, I mean, it depends on the structure of the survey. And so sometimes there's room for people to tell us about their beliefs in an open-ended format. Those questions are hard to ask in code. But we do ask a question about issues facing the state. And typically, if there is an overwhelming concern, particularly if it's economic, that the direction of the state tends to tank, right? People think things aren't going well. It's often very strongly tied to economic issues. We've asked that most important problem question again, as we do, you know, as we have for years. And right now, there's no single issue that stands out that as being most important for the state. They talk about the economy, but they talk about education, they talk about crime, they talk about taxes, they talk about politics, all of these being issues. There's no single issue. And so that's part of what I would say is happening here with the direction of the state. There isn't one big concern that people are focused on, and it's not an economic concern. And when we see that, invariably we see improvements in how people think the state is doing.
Well, that was my next question. If the results are showing that for the first time since 2009, almost 9 years, that the voters of Pennsylvania are saying the state is on the right track, and it's tied closely, in your experience, to the economy, does that say to you that Pennsylvanians believe the economy is doing well here in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's certainly improved over time. I mean, if you go back to the Great Recession in 2008, you know, economic concerns were a big issue for a lot of years. And that's only just beginning to fade in terms of people's priorities. And so there's no doubt that people often judge government's performance and the executive in power by how they're doing financially. And so I think we're seeing some of that improvement.
But there is a but here. Even though there was a substantial uptick in whether the state, the voters see the state going in the right direction, it still is only 43%, as compared to like 38% in September of 2017. So 43%,
46%, but yeah.
Is it 46?
Right.
Okay,
I think
I'm sorry.
46.
But that still is a majority of the people who were polled.
A plurality, but not a majority.
Not a
right.
majority.
So
right.
there's certainly room to grow. And we aren't at the, you know, the place where we were, say, back in the mid-90s, right, where we had real economic growth and expansion and all of that. I mean, at that time, you know, 50-60% of adults were saying, hey, the state's really heading in the right direction. So yeah, we haven't reached those highs that we've seen in the past, but it's definitely a trend line that's moving more positively than we've seen in a long time.
This would seem to be good news for Governor Tom Wolf, the incumbent who is running this year.
Yes.
And that the state is seen going in the right direction. And it's probably not a coincidence that those polled also gave the governor more favorable numbers, right? Mm,
that's right. I mean, it is no coincidence, as you say. Governor Wolf looks pretty well positioned. If you look at his job performance ratings, we see a bump in his performance ratings since our prior poll. His numbers look comparable to where Ed Rendell was at the same time in his tenure. And we know Rendell went on to win in the fall. So I think good economic news, positive ratings. Those ratings are driven by increases in Democrats who think he's doing a good job, you know. So
yeah, Republicans don't think so.
Right, Republicans don't. But independents and Democrats have moved a bit in his direction. There's probably a lot of reasons for that besides the economy. But I would say at this point, he probably has to feel pretty good about where he is. Of course, there's a long time to election day, and lots of things can change. You know, and one of the things contextually that will change is he'll get an opponent who will start directly attacking him, and at the same time, he will also begin running his campaign. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion about his agenda, for sure, and that's going to change attitudes.
We're still more than a month and a half away from the primary in May, and, you know, 7 months or so away from the general election in November. So, as you say, a lot of things can change. But one of the things that you did in this poll, and that you often do, is match the incumbent up against his opponents. And the three Republicans who are running, Laura Ellsworth, Paul Mango, and Scott Wagner, you matched the governor head-to-head. How did that turn out?
You know, it looks like, to me, there's no real difference which Republican candidate you put in there. The results are the same. So we know from the polling that these candidates, the Republican candidates, are not well known at this point. Right now, they're talking to Republican primary voters. They're not really talking to the general public at large. So, you know, we asked this question just to kind of see where Governor Wolf is in terms of his electoral prospects. But I would say it's really too early to start judging what this race is going to look like based on the head-to-head, because the Republican candidates just aren't that well known yet.
But one thing I did notice that, as you say, they generally are the same, but Scott Wagner seems to do the best against against Governor Wolf.
Sure. And he's probably the best known of the three and has the longest you know, political record in the state.
Another big thing in big result out of this, when I say big, it's significant, is that it appears that a lot of people are paying attention.
It does. For a midterm, a little less than half say they're very interested in this campaign. That comes from, that interest is primarily among Democrats, right? I mean, a large portion of Democrats are really interested and motivated. And
is that the Trump effect?
Well, I think so. I mean, we've seen that in all these elections that have taken place since President Trump's election. And so, yeah, I mean, Democrats are motivated. You can look around and see it, right? And so, yeah, that's a continuation of what we're seeing elsewhere. We're seeing in the generic ballot question we ask here, where we ask, you know, would you prefer the Democrat or the Republican running for Congress in your district? We see a Democratic advantage of about 7 points, which is pretty much right on the national average for that question. So I would say at the moment, Democrats probably have a tailwind. They've got a lot of voter enthusiasm, and that's going to bode well for their candidates. You know, I think the other thing in terms of particularly congressional elections are the number of empty open Republican seats, probably
in Pennsylvania, right?
Well, everywhere.
Well, everywhere,
right.
But this, Pennsylvania in particular.
Well, since World War II, this is probably, I think, there's something like 56 total open seats, and that's the most since World War II, except for, I think, 1992. So, you know, there's a lot of retirements. Most of those are Republicans. Probably the three districts most likely to swing in the country from Republican to Democrat are in Pennsylvania, as a result of that new map. So right now, electorally, Democrats seem to be well positioned. But again, I caution, we've got a lot of time before now. The other thing that's really confounding about this in my mind is it is typical that the president's party will lose seats in midterms. We know that. It happens all the time. What is really unusual, though, is economically, things seem to be going quite well. We see that in the poll. People judge that here in the state. Wages have increased a bit. You know, all those things related to economic well-being seem to be positive indicators that should be favoring the party in power more than they are. And that's sort of unusual. The normal rules would say when you have the kind of economic growth that we've had, that's going to help the incumbent party. We'll see.
Well, I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. It's probably a good idea to, when we're talking about the numbers that candidates have, these are not predictions, right?
No, No, we don't predict.
Many people do look at polls and say, oh, that's a predict. You know, before the 2016 November election, all the polls were all wrong. Right. You know, many people look at polls and say they're predictions.
Sure. Well, but that's because there's a whole industry that's sprung up trying to make them into predictions, right? We don't do this polling for that purpose. We try to capture the contours of elections and campaigns and public policy issues and see where people stand. You know, sometimes you're dead on because not much changes between when you finish your poll and when an election day. And sometimes you miss because lots change. So the 2016 election, you know, we were done interviewing about the exact same time that James Comey released his letter related, you know, that changed some things. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, I think we're all advised to remember that polls are a product. They're certainly a snapshot, and they're a product of the context at the moment the poll's taken. And context changes, attitudes, preferences, ideas are going to change.
Before we get into Pennsylvania's U.S. Senate race, where Senator Bob Casey, the incumbent, is running for re-election, I do want to talk about what Pennsylvanians think of President Trump, asking whether they think he's doing an excellent, good, not-so-good job. It did not come out very, very, very well for the president.
Well, you know, it depends how you view that. I mean, I would say his numbers are pretty consistent with what we're seeing nationally. So he's got a very firm core of support.
Really? I just saw one yesterday that had a national poll that he was up over 40%.
Well,
favorable
ratings are a little different than the way that we do this. In fact, if you look at his favorable ratings in our poll, which is a ratings of him personally, they're higher than his job performance ratings.
Okay.
Right. So they tend to be different things. We asked this question a little differently. We ask people to put them into one of four categories. We've always asked that way. Some of the national job performance questions I'll basically ask about two categories. So that can change things. You know, historically, he's a little worse off than where Obama was, you know, but his trajectory has remained relatively consistent from our last poll. So we haven't seen him losing ground, and he still has an advantage in those counties that he's won. We've done that analysis, and we know his job performance ratings are higher in those counties where he beat Hillary Clinton. So I would say his performance is relatively consistent with where he, you know, where he's been.
We didn't actually give the number. The number is 30% of registered voters in Pennsylvania believe that President Trump is doing an excellent or a good job.
Right.
And that's, you say that's just a little below President Obama?
It's below where Obama was in his first term. I mean, when Obama started, his job approval rating in the state was about 60%, right? And then it slowly declined. And by the time he got to this point in his first term in Pennsylvania, he was just around 40%. So higher, but, you know, not 60 points higher.
Mm. Let's talk about Senator Bob Casey. Senator Casey currently holds a lead over his Republican challenger, Representative Lou Barletta, 43% to 25%, although nearly one in three voters remain undecided. And again, that would not be decided until the November election. What do voters think about the job that Senator Casey is doing, though?
Senator Casey's job numbers are not quite as high as Governor Wolf's, certainly higher than President Trump's. So, you know, right around 2 in 5 voters think he's doing an excellent or good job. He's well positioned. It's not overwhelmingly popular, but he's relatively well positioned at this point. You know, in terms of the head-to-head matchup with Congressman Representative Barletta, you know, he suffers from the same issue that the Republican candidates for governor suffer from. Not a high profile across the state. That's going to change once the November campaign comes around. So, you know, at this point, that race is still with 30% of the voters not knowing where they're heading. You know, that race is wide open.
I have to say, Burwood, though, and I'm not going to use the word surprise. I'll stop raising my eyebrows and say I'm not surprised. But typically, when Bob Casey Jr. has run for election and re-election, even the other races, the other offices that where he ran, he typically gets the most votes.
He does.
In those. So 37% that say they feel he's doing an excellent or a good job, considering the number of votes historically he has gotten over the years, it seems like a low figure.
Well, we have to remember, job performance isn't, I mean, it relates to electability, but in the end of the day, it, you know, you're talking about matching up two candidates, and the voters have to make that decision.
Burwood, Yost Franklin Marshall College, thank you very much for being with us today. We will put a link to the Franklin Marshall College State Impact Pennsylvania poll, and there will be a lot of stories coming out of this as well. Burwood, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Scott.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, we have two pretty significant issues to discuss on the program. We're talking about on college campuses, racist groups that are recruiting on college campuses. Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center will be with us. Also, National Child Abuse Prevention Month is in April. We'll talk about that.